Look at Revelation chapter number 21 tonight. We'll be in chapter 21 and chapter 22. We're just going to read the first 8 verses here to get started with. We'll be dealing with verses both in chapter number 21 and chapter number 22. We'll be looking at different things all throughout here. Looking at a new heaven, a new earth, and the new Jerusalem that's going to be coming down. I've been looking at the book of Revelation for some time now on Sunday evenings and how it relates to the end time events. We've seen some things that are coming in the near future. Talked about the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, and how the tribulation period would take place here on the earth right after the rapture of the church. And then we took a look at the marriage of the Lamb, the second coming of Christ, the millennium reign of Christ, and the great white throne judgment that will come upon all unbelievers. And in the midst of that, we saw the final demise of Satan and his cohorts, amen, the unholy trinity, the false prophet, the beast, and Satan all cast into the lake of fire. But today we come to this passage which speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. All right. Maybe that's out of the way now. All right, let's take a look at the first 8 verses here. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I want you to see here the descent of the New Jerusalem. The present heaven and earth will pass away one day. We need to understand that there are two words that are translated new in the New Testament. And one of these words means new in time or recently made, but that's not the word that's used here. Instead, we have the word translated here that means renewed or renovated. It's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 5:11 when it talks about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Amen. It's the very term that's used of the unregenerated believer when he becomes a new creation. And the suggestion is that while the present creation is cleansed by fire, and it will be cleansed by fire. In fact, hold your place there in Revelation 21, and I want you to look at what Peter had to say about this over in 2 Peter chapter number 3. And though it's going to be cleansed by fire, God's going to bring out of it some new conditions. Amen. This old world is corrupt, isn't it? It's corrupt to the core. I mean, even in its beauty that is still left intact, we know that there's a lot of things that need to be changed in this earth. And sin is what's caused so many of the problems. In fact, all of the problems. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, it says here, 2 Peter 3, verse 7, says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Notice this, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. As you read that, you kind of understand how it's so silly to live for the things of this world, isn't it? I mean, it's all going to pass away one day. That nice home that somebody pays millions of dollars for, it's all going to burn up. The nice cars, nice vehicles, whatever people to have, and it's not wrong to have nice things, but a lot of people, that's what they focus on. That's where what their life is all about. Their life is about things. Their life is about money and what money can buy. But things that are on this earth they're going to be gone one day. All the old is going to be gone, and the universe in which we now live is going to be completely destroyed. It will be new in quality and new in character. And what a shame that so many people's lives are wrapped up in the things of this world when it's all just going to burn up one day. Amen. Now, I want you to see that God will make all things new. There in Revelation 21, and look at verse number 5. We read it just a while ago. But it said, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." When God says He's going to make all things new, friend, it's going to take place. Amen? Because He's true and faithful. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What He says He will do, He will do. And when we say heaven will pass away, we're not talking about the dwelling place of God. Okay, that's not going to pass away. What we're talking about is the heaven and earth that we know. We would call it the first and second heavens. That's what's going to pass away. Now, we've not been called up to the third heaven. Paul was called up there. Some of us have some loved ones that are in the third heaven right now. But that'll remain intact. But we see that the Lord is going to make all things new. Then we see the description of the New Jerusalem. I want you to know it will be a city of no mores. A city of no mores. First of all, no more separation from God. Look there in verse number 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." We're going to be with God, and God's going to be with us forevermore. Amen? Well, we'll be in the presence of God. No more separation from God. It will be a time of eternal fellowship with God. The tabernacle of God will be with us. God will dwell with us. We will be His people. God Himself will personally be with us. And He's going to be our God. I mean, He's our God now, but He's going to be our God for all eternity. We see not only no more separation from God, but verse number 4 there says there are going to be no more tears or crying. Notice verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Neither shall there be no more death, nor neither sorrow nor crying." And so no more tears or crying. The suggestion here is that there have been tears up to this point. Now, I think a lot of folks mistakenly believe that once we die or when the rapture takes place, there will be no more tears at that point. This is the point there's going to be no more tears. OK, Okay? I believe that there's going to be tears shed. I'm not saying that I believe that our loved ones that have gone on before us are shedding tears right now. But there will be a time, I believe, at the judgment seat of Christ when we're going to shed some tears. When we look at what we could have had, but we didn't live for the Lord like what we should have, I believe there'll be some tears and some crying. I believe there's going to be some tears shed by those looking on at the great white throne judgment. I believe we may be spectators there. We're not going to be there in that judgment. We're not going to be called to be judged upon, but we could be spectators. And if we are, can't you imagine if you're some of your loved ones or some of your close friends are part of that judgment and you watch them be cast into the lake of fire? Don't you imagine there'll be some tears that'll be shed? But here, after the heaven and earth pass away and God brings a new Jerusalem, at that point, there's going to be no more tears and no more crying. What a blessing, amen? There's going to be no more sorrow. Think for a moment about the things that have caused us sorrow in this life. You know, there are many, aren't they? We could sit here and talk about the things that bring sorrow to us. Some of us have faced sorrow over maybe family members gone astray. Some have faced sorrow of death of loved ones. Some have faced sorrow of maybe forsaken by someone that we love. But there won't be any of that ever again. No more sorrow. No more pain. You know, this life is full of pain. And full of things that bring pain. You talk about accidents and injury and sickness and you name it. All that stuff's going to be gone. All the things that brought pain in this life. All of it will be past one day. You know, cheer up. You know, one of these days it's going to get better. You know, we're looking forward to that time when there will be no more pain. I don't know about you, but I'm a wuss when it comes to pain. I just really am. I got a very low tolerance of pain. You know, if they're going to do a procedure on me, hey, knock me out. I want to be asleep while you're doing this thing. You know, I don't want to know anything about it. I don't know about how you are about the thing, but if pain's coming on, give me a pain pill, do something. You know, I'm feeling things here. I remember whenever I had my wisdom teeth cut out, and that first time I'd ever had surgery, and I didn't know what to experience. I didn't know it was just like you go to sleep and you wake right back up. And, you know, and I was trying to tell the doctor that hey, I'm not going to sleep anymore. You need to do something. And he was already done. You know, I had a mouth full of packing and everything, and it was already done. I wanted to make sure he knew that he wouldn't be cutting on me while I was not asleep. But, you know, there's going to be no more pain. Accidents, injury, and sickness, whatever, it's all going to be gone one day. No more death. No more death. There, according to verse number 4, one of the most difficult things as a pastor is trying to help those who are grieving over the death of a loved one. Some of the hardest things I've had to deal with in my own personal life, grieving over the death of a loved one. But there's going to be no more separation from those we are with. No more caskets, praise the Lord. No more funeral services. No more grave sites. Won't it be wonderful there? Amen. Having no burdens to bear over there. And there's a song that's used to sing in the old days that way. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear over there. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? I know I can't sing with this voice I got. But when I look at that, I think of that song. No more wants. You know, we all have some wants, don't we? I mean, let's just, you know, we like to think, well, you know, I just want my needs met. Oh, you got wants. You know, you got wants, I've got wants. But, you know, when we get in the very presence of God, we're not going to have any wants. Now, we're not going to want the same things what we want right now. But look at verse number 7. Chapter 21 there, verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit, what's that next thing? All things. All things. and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Listen, we have many unfulfilled desires here in this life, and sometimes our lust in this life get us in trouble, don't they? Because we let our desires control us. But listen, we're going to be controlled by the Lord there. Amen. Well, it's not going to be a problem in the heavenly city. Our lives will be totally satisfied with God and His eternal provision for us. There's not going to be any disappointment. You know, some people think that heaven's going to be kind of boring. You know, that Hollywood shows people floating in clouds and playing harps and that type of stuff. That's not what it's all about, folks. It's about being in the presence of God. Can I tell you, it's going to be more wonderful than you can possibly imagine? It really is. We just really can't imagine what it's going to be like. But I can tell you this, we're going to be totally satisfied with what God has provided for us and with Him personally. There are going to be no more sinners. I don't know about you, but I get tired of being in this life with wicked people. I really do. I mean, you go down in the marketplace sometimes and, you know, people use filthy words and, hateful, wicked. They dress wrong and try to, they just are wrong. And it's because they're lost. They're wicked. But there in verse number 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I see those of us that are saved, Jesus took our part, didn't he? Yeah. Hey, we can find ourselves on that list right there, what we once were, Paul told the Corinthians, you know, "Such were some of you." And we could take a look at that list and say, "Such were some of us," right? Ever told a lie? How many lies at stake make you a liar? One. But thank the Lord Jesus, He took my part. He took my death. And He took your death if you're saved tonight. There's no more sinners in that land. No more sin. Look at verse 27. The last verse of chapter 21. "And there shall in no wise," in other words, it ain't going to happen. No way, no how. That's what it is. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Friend, it's just going to be folks that are saved, and they will finally be fully sanctified. You know, we're not fully sanctified yet. God's still working on all of us. We got a ways to go. There's sometimes when I fail the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you do. I'm not some sort of super Christian. I used to think my preacher was. And when I was growing up, I really looked up to my preacher. I just thought he was some sort of super Christian. That, you know, it was really hard to attain to that. Listen, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, just like you, and he was too. And we fail the Lord at times. But listen, it's not going to be that way there. There's going to be no more sin. We'll be fully sanctified. We'll be glorified, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be like Him, but we shall see Him as He is the way the Apostle John put it in 1 John chapter number 3, I believe it is. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 22. "There's going to be no more curse." It says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him." No more curse. Things have been cursed since the Garden of Eden. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3. You know, none of us know what paradise is like. Adam and Eve knew what paradise was like. They knew what they lost. Don't you think that they were probably very, very disappointed with themselves when they had been living in paradise and had such a close relationship with the Lord, and they just let it slip right through their hands with their disobedience? But there's going to be no more curse. The things that we have to deal with in this life because of the curse, it's all going to be gone. It's going to be gone. Back in chapter number 21 and verse number 1. The very verse number 1 says also there's going to be no more sea. What's that about? Well, you know, the sea is necessary to sustain life in the world in which we live. Very important. And boy, we're doing a poor job of being caretakers of the sea. Right now they talk about how rapidly the sea life is being depleted and all these things. And things are getting unbalanced now. And we read in the book of Revelation, we looked at some of the vials and stuff, some of the judgments that were cast out upon the oceans. And the sea life, which is so necessary to sustain life, is going to be in real trouble during that period of time. But there's going to be no need for a sea with the Lord. No need for a sea. He will sustain us, won't He? He's going to sustain us. There's going to be no more night. No more night. Can you imagine it being daytime all the time? You won't need no sleep. You won't need no sleep. And there won't be any need for night. I hate this time of year, really, when it gets dark so early and stays dark for so long. Now, I know we're on the side now where things are supposed to be lengthening up. We're supposed to be getting more daylight. I love the summers with the daylight savings time. You got the long days, a lot of daylight. I'd have real trouble living up in the Arctic like our missionaries, Brother Forney. We read his letter on Wednesday night. I'd have a real trouble taking a living up there in that Arctic region. Not only because of the cold, but because of the dark. It stays dark a long period of time up there. In fact, it's they just about have to use artificial light just to keep from themselves from getting in deep despair and depression. It brings on depression in your life if you just it's around darkness all the time. Listen, darkness is the absence of light, isn't it? Well, look at what it says there in verse 23 of chapter 21. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Praise God. Amen. The Lamb's the light. Look at verse 25. It says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." Amen. Don't have to shut the gates. Gates are just there for show. Don't have to shut the gate. You know, back during this time when they would have to close the gates of the city at night, so the invaders wouldn't come in. Don't have to worry about any of that. Not going to be any invaders. And not going to be any night. Look at verse 5 of chapter 22. It says, "And there should be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." God's light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. And since we will eternally be in His presence, there's going to be no need for light because we'll be in the very presence of light. There'll be no night there. No more temple. No more temple. Look at verse 22 of chapter 21. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Listen, friend, it's going to be a perfect city from God. Hebrews 11, verse 10 tells us that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is it right here, the New Jerusalem. This is the city. Jesus said in John 14, 2, remember Jesus said to His disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you." This is it right here. The New Jerusalem is the place He's prepared for them. And you and I too. This city will be perfectly symmetrical. Look at verse 16 of chapter 21. It says, "And the city lieth four square." In other words, it's just as tall as it is long as it is deep. Okay, four square. I mean, you got it going. It says that the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. There it is. And he measured the walls thereof, and 140 and 4 cubits according to the measure of a man. That is of the angel. Listen, here we see The city's going to be perfectly symmetrical. It's 12,000 furlongs, which is equivalent to 1,500 miles. Okay? 1,500 miles. So it's, if you were looking at square miles, it would be, but this is really cubic miles because you're an additional dimension. If you were looking at just the square miles, it would be 2,250,000, and then you got 1,500 miles high to add to that, which makes it 3,375,000,000 cubic miles in area. That's how much area is going to be in the New Jerusalem. The world as we know it right now, combining the areas of the seven continents, equals an area of only 57,609,000 square miles. 57,609 is going to be much larger than what we have here. The area of the New Jerusalem is going to be over 58 times that amount. There's going to be no shortage of space. And Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Many mansions. It will be perfect because of the perfect architect who designed and built it. I mean, if you're going to have somebody build you a building, don't you want the best architect and engineer and builder that you can get? We got the one. Can't get any better than the Lord Jesus Christ, can you? I mean, He's the one that drafted everything in the universe to begin with. And He's going to do a jam-up job there on the New Jerusalem. It will be a city of no mores. It will be a perfect city from God. Thirdly, it will be a beautiful city of God. It will shine with the glory of God like crystal, so there's no need for sun or moon, as we already read. The walls are jasper, and the city is of pure gold. Look at verse number 18 there. Verse number 18 says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Now, I don't know what that looks like, but it's got to be awesome. Amen. The gates are of pearl. Foundation is of precious stones. Look at verse 20 and 21 there. It says there, let's back up to verse number 19. It says, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. And the seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. And the ninth, topaz. And the tenth, chrysoprasus. And the eleventh, jacinth. And the twelfth, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." So we see there, gates of pearl, and the foundation is of precious stones. And there will be no temple there because we will dwell in the very presence of God Almighty. No need for any temple. There will be a pure river of the water of life proceeding out of the throne of God. Look at chapter 22 and verse number 1. It says, "And He showed me a pure river of water." Let me back up. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." And then there's going to be a tree. The tree of life is going to be there, yielding 12 manner of fruit. Now, remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, there was an angel put there to guard the tree of life, lest they live in that condition forever. But here it shows back up. In the New Jerusalem. It says there in verse 2, it says, "In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Listen here. It's going to be a beautiful place. It'll be a beautiful city of God. And then it will be a city of worship and service. We're still going to be worshiping the Lord. And listen, we're still going to be serving the Lord. Before man ever sinned, God gave him something to do. He was to till the garden. Amen. I mean, that was before. There was no work to it now, but he had something to do. There was no sweat of the brow before sin entered in. But God did give him something to do. And listen, we're not just going to be lazy for all eternity. We're not. God's going to give us something to do. Only those who are saved. Look at verse number 3 there. Of chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 3. It says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." And notice this, "and his servants shall serve him." That's how I know we're going to be serving the Lord. Okay? Only those who are saved are going to be there. We've seen that already. We shall see the face of the Lord, and we will be identified by bearing his name in our foreheads. Look at there, verse number 4 of chapter 22. "So they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." You looking forward to seeing Jesus, seeing his face? We're going to be able to see the face of Jesus, and his name will be in our foreheads. We'll be his for all eternity. We'll reign forever and ever, according to verse 5. Notice what it says there in verse 5 of chapter 22. "There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." We'll reign. We're not going to be under the curse anymore, amen? Not going to ever get under the weather again. You know, we talk about, how are you today? Well, I'm just under the weather today. You won't have to worry about any of those days. You're not gonna ever say, well, you know, it's just one of them days today. It's one of them days. It's not ever gonna be one of them days again. It's gonna be one long day for all eternity of the greatest, things that you can ever, have, your heart's desire for. Heaven was simply a great city with streets of gold, gates of pearl, precious stones and wondrous beauty. Some folks might think, well, I don't know whether it's worth it all or not. We sing the song, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." It will be. Okay, it will be. See, it's going to be so much more than all of that we just talked about. It's a place where we will see Jesus face to face, dwell with Him for all eternity, and that will be worth it all. In eternity future, God will reveal to us the exceeding riches of His grace. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And you can let Revelation go. We're done there for tonight. And I want to kind of leave this with you as we close tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's back up to verse number 4. Ephesians 2, verse number 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," amen, I'm glad for that, aren't you? "For His great love wherewith He loved us," I'm glad of that too. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," and that word quickened means made us alive, "quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Notice verse 7. "That in the ages to come," Revelation 21 and 22 and whatever comes after that, amen, that's what he's talking about, "in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You know, I firmly believe that we don't understand all about the grace of God. I think we just kind of scratched the surface of all that Jesus has done for us. I think we're just on the lower level of our understanding. But in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. David said in Psalm 17:15, he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, we're never satisfied in this life, are we? We're not. When we get done here, I'm going to go over there to the house and I'm going to get me something to eat and something to drink. You know why? Because I'm not satisfied. You know, I have to eat 3 times a day. You know, sometimes more. Eat more than I should. But I'm not satisfied in this life. I'd be glad to get rid of this, whatever I've got, this congestion, this cough and whatever. And why? You know why? Because I'm not satisfied with it. You're not satisfied with life either. Listen. But when we awake with His likeness, we will forever, for all eternity, be satisfied. When we see Him throughout eternity, we shall be finally satisfied. We will be fully satisfied. And we'll be forever satisfied. Amen. Think about it. We can have a part in this glory and we can enjoy these eternal blessings all because there's one who made it possible by His death on Calvary's cross. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we'll enjoy the blessings of the New Jerusalem when this world is no more. The question is, do you know Him? Amen. That's it. All boils down, do you know Him? If you do know Him, are you serving Him? You might as well get busy serving Him because you're going to serve Him for all eternity. You might as well see what it's like. Serve the Lord. You know, some folks are going to have to learn what that's all about because they never do anything for Jesus. But you'll be doing something for Him there. Yeah. But it'll be too late to lay up rewards. You will serve Him now. You get to send something ahead. Amen. So let's get busy for the Lord. Amen. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, take these words and, Lord, stir our hearts with what's yet to come for us as believers. Lord, if there be one that's not saved here tonight, we pray that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, Lord, so they can be partakers of all that we've talked about tonight, too. Lord, I know the Apostle John, as he was penning these things, he's using earthly language to try to describe heavenly things. He's trying to use the limited vocabulary that he had and comparing things and writing about things that he knew about, trying to describe things he didn't know anything really about. What he saw, what you showed him as he was viewing your revelation to him of this new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Lord, may we realize that it's much greater than we can anticipate. It's much greater than our hearts can imagine. Lord, there's going to be no disappointment. We'll be fully satisfied when we're in your presence. And we look forward to that day. But Lord, as we await that day, we are to be, Lord, in tune with you. We're to worship you and we're to serve you. Because we're going to be worshiping you and serving you for all eternity. We might as well get used to it now. And Lord, our lives are so much better in this life when we worship you like we should and when we serve you like you asked us to. Lord, we not only help ourselves, but Lord, we help others. As we serve you, we're helping others and sending rewards that will be ours for all eternity. Help us, Lord, with these things. And Lord, expand our vision and help us to see just how great the things that you prepared for us are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.
381.
381. God's spoken to your heart. Why don't you come?
Is tenderly calling me home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love.